Blog Talk Radio. Dr. Reggie Johnson, we're your host this morning, and oh my goodness, Dr. Reggie, how are you this morning?
I am wonderful because I realize it's almost the end of the first month of the brand new year, and we have so much to be thankful for and so much to look forward to.
Oh, I know, I know. Listen, yesterday was such a historical day. President Obama was inaugurated, of course, for his second term, our first African-American president who was reelected. And then it was also Martin Luther King's birthday. So what a gentle reminder of how far our country has come. It wasn't easy. Change is never easy, is it? But we are growing, and there's so, he was a gentle reminder, and actually his inauguration speech reminded us of how far we've come and how challenging it was, and that we still have challenges before us, but over the years we have grown, we've become a better nation for us. So there was a big hoopla because he acknowledged our gay friends. And in the inauguration speech, I thought that was just amazing that we are looking at freedom for everyone in America, freedom for everyone. And so we're doing great things here in America, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
And we've come a long way. So I wanted to say we weren't here yesterday. We took the holiday off and hope that you did too. And we are in the book study of Even Mystics Have Bills to Pay, all right? So we're trying to find the balance between our spiritual life and our earthly living. And this book is written by Jim Rosemurgy, who is a Unity minister down in Fort Myers, California. And I'm so grateful that he took the time to put these thoughts into a book form. Last week, we laid the foundation for us to manifest prosperity in our lives. And it's not just about money, is it? It's about having a prosperous life in every area of our life. And the author's premise is for us to recognize God as source. So, you know, oftentimes in circles of prosperity, we refer to God as source. I will say source or source energy. And I'm going to repeat this because I never know who's listening and, you know, if it's the first time they've tuned in. But the reason I use alternative words to describe that powerful energy that so many of us refer to as God is because we have a concept of God. I don't know how you were raised and what church you attended and what your current perception of God is. But I'm trying to give you an expanded view of the concept of God. And so when we say God, it has a lot of images and meanings attached to it for each individual person. So I try to go into other terms like source or universe. But it all means the same thing. It is that divine energy. I use that a lot. That divine energy that gives us life force. And so the author is saying God is source. Okay? But our consciousness of God, our consciousness of source is supply. That is his main thesis. And that we are rich, we enrich our lives when we move into the consciousness, the awareness of the presence of that divine energy within us. So I want you to keep that in the forefront of your mind, especially as we're going through this book study. But here's the thing. As you move through the course of the day, I want you to call that, because I'll be honest with you. I'm thinking, wow, I'm having a hard time really getting to the nitty-gritty of what he's saying here. I understand God as source. I get that. But he's moving us into consciousness of God as the supply. And I'm going to ask Dr. Reggie to take us into our morning prayer, and then we're going to delve into how we can practice moving into this consciousness.
Okay. Take a deep breath and breathe in the energy and the power of life itself, and recognizing the creator of the entire universe and cosmos as the one source and the all that there is. Our life enters a new cycle. As surely as the wheel of fate does turn, we leave behind all things that are old and outworn, and enter 2013. Everything that used to give us pain and give us stress, we move now to a new life in a new situation, and we create new surroundings where we are much happier and much more able to enjoy life. And in working towards this goal, we do not cease from striving. We are alert to every opportunity that comes our way. And while we make every opportunity to transform and enlighten all which is around us, this we do in the power and the energy of the Christ. We believe it is so, and so it is.
And so it is, and so it is. So he has given us a challenge. The author, Jim Rosemurgy, he says, I love the idea of an experiment. I propose that we put to the test the principles that are outlined in the first section of this book. Let it be as it was in the days of Malachi. Put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you an overflowing blessing. And so if we answer this challenge, then we will know from experience whether the so-called truths are true. You can't say this is hogwash if you don't practice it, if you don't try it, if you don't test it. If you cannot be lived in the home, If they cannot be lived in the home, meaning these truths, and if these truths cannot guide us in our business dealings, and if a church cannot prosper by declaring God as its source, and if the world cannot be a better place through the applications of these truths, then they must be discarded and we must find another way. And that's where we are right now. We're either going to say, yes, this works, or no, it doesn't. Because there is too much at stake for us not to accept this challenge. And the world's needs are too great for us to pursue any avenue that will not bring us to the awareness of our source. So right now I'm asking you to put aside the idea of solving the world's problems of famine and despair and begin with your own household, practicing these principles. prosperity in the home is not simply a matter of money. And yet, how many of you believe that if you had $1 million, you could solve all your problems? Beneath our desire for money, there are stronger issues that are at work. And money cannot buy it. And so you say, well, what? Cynthia, you know, I know what my needs are. I see these bills stacked here up on my desk. I just got a letter that they're going to foreclose on my home. You don't know what you're talking about. There are other things at issue here. And what are they? Well, your security. You're equating your security based on the fact that you have a mortgage and you want to be able to pay the mortgage. And you equate it down, well, if I had the money to pay the mortgage, then I would feel more secure. But it's beyond that. It's beyond that circumstance. Why are you not feeling secure now, regardless of what's in front of you? What about self-worth? How valuable you are. You link your value, your self-worth, based on whether or not you're making your payments every month, your bill payments. You reduce it down to money. But there's something underlying. Why are you so attached to your self-worth and a bill? Or your self-worth and your job title? Or your self-worth and how much money you bring home from your job, your salary? There's something more. You really and truthfully are seeking to find out who you really are and why you are here. The money, the jobs, it's a distraction from what you're really seeking. The infinite source is within you. Infinite source, equaling and meaning what? God is in you. And you know, you cannot hear that too often. Because as soon as you hang up the phone from listening to Circles of Prosperity or walk away from the internet, as soon as you disconnect, you probably forget. Today, your mantra should be, God is in me. Source is in me. God is in me. Source is in me. So the author is telling us, listen, that divine energy is in you, and there is nothing, not one thing, that needs to be added to you. I told you last week, I said, what you're seeking is already in you. You need to become aware of it. And this is what he means by you need to have a consciousness of that divine energy that we call God as your supply. There's nothing that you have to work at. You just need to be aware that that energy is in you. And that's harder when you have all these other misconstrued ideas and perceptions of God. It becomes harder because then you think, okay, I'm not worthy, or why would God want to be in me, or I'm not Jesus, or I don't understand, because you're personifying an energy, an unseen energy. You're personifying it. In other words, you're giving it personhood. God is a force. Divine energy. If you're a scientist, it may be easier for you to grasp hold of that concept. But it's a force. So we have to find how we're going to tap into that force. This is how the author describes it. He says, a way must be found so that the fountainhead, the wellspring of living water, can find its way from the dark depths of our earthly desire into the light where it can quench our greater thirst for meaning, security, and discovery. Very poetic. So he's equating that energy with water. Living water that quenches your thirst for knowing who you really are. So you all can think about the times that you've worked out and you've been running. You're really, really good because it's the beginning of the year and I know we're all exercising, right? And you're parched. You're so thirsty because you've been working out and doing your body good. And all you can think of is, oh, God, I want some ice cold water. It wouldn't even matter if it's ice cold. Just to quench that thirst. And as you're gulping it down, you can feel it flowing all through your body. Nourishing, quenching every cell in your body. And as you gulp it down and as your body is being replenished, you say, that was good. That's how he's comparing when you move in the consciousness of the awareness of God in you. You are replenished. Right? So, this is paramount for us to begin our adult lives with the hope that we will prosper and with the aspiration that we will enjoy this good life. And then the years march on and we allow the circumstances to dash our dreams. We're looking at that pile of bills. We're looking at that foreclosure notice. We're looking at our pink slip where we've been laid off from a job. And that hope just goes down the drain. We're struggling to make ends meet. We fear for our future. We make unwise decisions to seem to limit our todays and our tomorrows. And we're just hopeless and hapless and dark, dark, dark. Depressed, oppressed, repressed. So in the home where the ends do not meet, the ends begin to unravel and tension builds, and we question not only our financial worth, but our self-worth. And we suffer and we struggle and we feel insecure. There is no boldness in us. And usually our relationships become strained. And we begin to argue and pick at each other and blame one another. There is so much pain because we do not know our source and the true nature of supply. It may be that all we have is hope. And the willingness to put to the test not only these prosperity principles that we're talking about, but a whole new way of living. Because these two, hope and willingness, are a good beginning. That's all you need. Hope and a willingness to try, to change the way you look at things. The family, yes, the family has needs, but we know that they are not the real issue. The real issue is God has a system. Nature has a system. And you're working outside of the system. Everything that we have taught you in circles of prosperity tells you that there are laws, right? There are universal laws. Abraham Hicks says, you get in your boat and you want to go against these universal laws. You're fighting against the current. Dr. Reggie teaches in his mystery school the forcing current, where you're going against that natural flow. You want to get in the flow. You want to get in God's cycle. No amount of planning can ensure that any member of the family will be awakened spiritually and become rich in spirit. The revelation is an act of grace and is God's work. However, we have our work to do, because none of the steps about to be outlined can create a breakthrough, but they can stir our current consciousness and open us up to God's grace. He is saying that you have to take that hope, take that willingness. Don't look at those bills. Don't look at this stuff. You are going to now have a spiritual experience. How do we get there? Well, he says, the first problem that we have to deal with is how we allow our thoughts of lack to dominate our thinking. We support such thoughts, but they do not support our dreams. Thinking lack is one of the pennies that we talked about in chapter 3. Remember the principle, for to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have abundance. But for him who has not, even what he has will be taken away from him. The have-not consciousness produces more lack, and we continue to lose what we have. And this kind of thinking, it has to cease now. And I know that it is easier said than done. Today, stop and I got a person in my mind right now, and I love you so dearly. Today, stop and think about how many times you say, I don't have. Especially when you're looking at, I don't have enough money to pay this bill. I don't have. Oh, Lord, I don't have. That is a thought of lack. Amen? That is a thought of lack. Our first step is to give thanksgiving. For when we are thankful, we have positive thoughts that begin to dominate our thinking. So my suggestion is that you bring your family together, and all of you together. Make this a family activity. You make a list of all the things for which you are thankful. And yes, you know, this list can begin with earthly things, but don't forget to include one another. You're thankful for each other and the intangible qualities of life that endure. You know, Dr. Reggie is on dialysis. And oftentimes, dialysis patients, lose the ability, they don't urinate anymore. And and we always shout when that happens for him. I'm so grateful for that. I mean, I know he's probably like, why are you saying that? Because, you know, it's amazing how things happen in your life and you begin to appreciate things that you just did all the time. And when it's not there anymore, you know, it makes you appreciate how well the body works. I mean, in my mind, I have a little victory dance around it. That's a blessing. And we proclaim his healing with joy. Be thankful for the little things. You will be surprised at the things that you can be grateful for. And that's going to begin to shift your mind. How many of you listen to Oracle Friday? And you know, I love the people that call in on Oracle Friday, because I think it's an opportunity, if you're paying attention to and you're listening to Circles of Prosperity through the week, when you hear people talk about their desires and you hear them begin to talk about how they explain their lives and describe, you can see how their thoughts are not matching their desire. That's why I do Oracle Friday. So you can see where they're not practicing the principles. It gives us an opportunity to help them shift. Someone said, well, the same people they call in over and over because they need to get the lesson. How do I shift? Your life doesn't change until you begin to practice the principles. So you could be calling a year, 2 years from now, saying the same thing. If you don't practice the principles, how do you expect your life to change? If you do not change the way you think, how do you think your life is going to change? It won't. You'll still have a desire that's not manifesting for you, because you refuse to change the way you think. Start by being thankful. Start by being thankful. How many women call in looking for a relationship? They want love, but do you love yourself? Are you grateful for how God has created you, for the life force running through you, for your mind, for how you can solve problems, how you nurture your children? Do you appreciate who you really are? Begin by being grateful. The practice of thankfulness, it turns our thinking from what we do not have, the have-not consciousness, to what we have. Remember, to everyone who has, will more be given. And the first gift is an awareness of God. This is our supply, and it will eventually provide for our earthly needs. When you look around you, and I do this, when you look around you, go open up your refrigerator, or go look at the appliances in your kitchen. Go to your bathroom and turn on the faucet, and you have running water. Know that God is your source. God provided that for you. Dr. Reggie, I scheduled a 30-minute show this morning. So I'm going to end this. We're going to pick it up tomorrow. I promise you, we'll be here tomorrow. But Dr. Reggie's going to take us into our closing prayer. I love you guys. Have a great day. Dr. Reggie, thank you.
Thank you for abundance and for the power of receiving manifestation. I'm asking you to send down, and I invoke and conjure the beautiful power of Archangel Raziel, who holds the wisdom and gifts of the universe. He knows exactly how to help us fulfill our wishes for increased abundance and prosperity. Under your hand, teach us what we need to know about manifesting. Allow us to witness and receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit's divine magic so that we may experience miracles in our everyday life. Thank you by the power of the Christ who tried to give us these secrets of the universe, and that sometimes we falter. Let us not get into the habit of doubt and lack, but in the prosperity, consciousness, and abundance. We believe it is so, and so it is.